once again, and welcome to the Isle of Lucy podcast number 10. This episode here features part 3, the final part of my phone interview with Isaac. And, I mean, there's really nothing relevant in the conversation. We're talking about pizza for a long time. That really is the majority of this third part of the conversation. And we do have some music as part of this episode, and so we'll get to that in a little bit. But firstly, here is part 3 of the Isaac Kidder interview.
I think the best thing about the Paws was the Paws pizza.
Paws pizza was good. Although, the Paws pizza was... Here's the thing about the Paws pizza. Paws pizza was often your best bet until... When they closed, 12? Like 11? What time did the kitchen close? Like 11:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, until then, it was your best bet because it was cheap, and you knew the number, you know, just dial 6969.
Yeah.
You get your pizza. After that time passed, then it's, you know, whatever the number was to get Basil's, you know, get the Euro pizza.
Yeah, right.
But they were only open till 1.
So then it's Domino's.
And then at that point, when you call Domino's, you're not looking for quality, you're looking for quantity. So we order like 4 pizzas for like 3 people.
Yeah.
That's what Daz and I would do.
it's great. There was amazing bulk you get, like, was it like 5 or 15 or something?
Yeah, or like when I remember coming back from Froggy's on a Thursday night, it's like, oh, we need some pizza. We need as many pizzas as we can possibly get right now.
Yeah, excuse me, not 5 for 13 or 15, I mean,
3 for 15.
Three for 15, yeah. But, well, I was going to say with Paws pizza, it was so damn cheap. It was, you know, for like a small, I can't remember if it started at 5 or 6 for a small.
A medium was $8, I believe. It was either 7 or 8.
It was 7, yeah. It was 6, 7, 8, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Pretty sure for the pricing, though. If I'm correct. I believe I'm correct on that. But the thing is, I was getting like $2 off for being a worker.
Sure.
Actually, okay, never mind. Sometimes I, probably like 3/4 of the time, I get off because management was always changing the rules.
Yeah.
Supervisors were always going over each other and under each other to change the rules. There's another lack of communication. I probably already mentioned that. That kind of goes along with the whole organization thing, as one of their vices. But I could eat a large pizza for $6, and, you know, or a small for 4, which was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
However, you're right, like, you know, you had to get it early tonight, and Domino's came through a lot more for me than any of the other pizza places.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about the double stacker pizza with the cheese in the middle.
Oh, the double melt.
Double melt. Was that Domino's?
Yeah.
And you told me once that you took 2 double melts and put them on top of each other.
The quadruple melt.
It's a question of mouth.
Those are.
Ever since you told me that story, I've strangely had this strong desire to try it. Like, it's weird. It's got, like, every time I think about it, I get so savagely hungry.
Oh, it was so good. It was a.
That sounds so damn good.
It was just Jeremy and I consuming an entire large quadruple melt. So, which meant, like, each of us ate 2 large pizzas, essentially.
Did you feel the arteries clogging when you're eating that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing I've ever done to my body.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To this day.
I think I remember you saying that. That's... Damn. Why did they take that off the market? Because it was so unhealthy?
It was just, you know, a limited time deal.
How do we get that back on? Like, can we start a petition? Can we rally the troops somehow to get that back on the menu? I would love to try it. I've never had the opportunity, and I don't think there's any place that has such a thing. At least that I bumped into. Maybe there's some like small obscure restaurant somewhere that offers that, but I don't know where it is.
Well, I'm gonna email Domino's tonight and tell them to bring it back.
Because of this talk, or were you planning on it?
No, I mean because of this talk.
Okay. But, oh, man, it sounds delicious.
Maybe that'll be the next cause of. You and I did that 2 or 3 times. Because there would be a few times when Martin and PJ needed to leave after rehearsal before we did. So you and I were left to pick up everything. And so...
You kind of deserved it, right?
We walked back to Interbo. I was like, well, how much money's in the band fund? Probably enough for a pizza. Again.
I love that. I wish we had confident funds. It's too bad more people don't want to buy our albums. Then we could have like been buying pizzas all senior year.
Yeah.
Like just whenever we felt like it'd be like, hey Paul, what is it? Do you have any money in the I Lose fund? Oh yeah, sure, sales were up today. Do you want to get 2 pizzas? Sure, why not? Yeah. Let's make a quad melt. Sure, okay. You know, in a perfect world, I lose the albums with Dell, and double melts would always be on the menu.
Well, I mean, like, I'm still kind of confused about how we work the finances. I don't know if I was ever officially paid back for the like blank media and for the printing costs. And it may be that I was. I just don't even remember. But I know that there was money that went into that. There's money that went into like buying a microphone that was owed to PJ. And
what happened to the microphone? I don't remember this. He bought another microphone?
Or maybe it was just like a cable or something. Or an adapter.
Oh, was it like one he had borrowed or something?
I think it was just like an adapter.
Oh, okay.
But just all these random things that, you know, should have come out of the band fund, but I don't know if they ever did.
Instead, they went to pizza.
I know we used some band fund money for the print center when we had posters made for the Paws concert. What's that?
Broke up there, I couldn't hear you. What'd you say? The only thing
I think we used some band money when we had posters made at the print center for our Paws concert.
Okay, that sounds legitimate. That does. I'm trying to think if we used it for anything else.
But I think that Martin had a stash of cash from album sales that he had sold that no one else ever saw.
I'm sure that went to like. What do you think that went to, actually?
I don't know, but I think you had a similar stash of cash.
I'm in the middle of an interview here, Pat. He's recording me. Oh. Do you need help right now? Okay. No, I'm serious. He's actually going to put this on a podcast. Yeah. The whole gun thing done. So, I had some cash too, but it wasn't that much. I had sold, you know, a couple of albums, so it was just like, I think we all like randomly had cash that we were just using for personal.
Yeah.
For personal use, so.
We didn't approach the whole selling aspect very well.
No, we didn't.
I mean, because we should have been selling the Crust Bucket album because it was better.
Yeah.
I mean, we never got around to tabling outside the calf trying to sell stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm just pissed now because I'm thinking about all the pizzas we could have had.
You know, when I look back at my college career, I don't think I regret not having enough pizza. I think I had a lot of pizza.
you know, like, I think you had more pizza than I did. Like, I had a good amount of pizza, but I feel like I do that more.
The thing about pizza in college is that it's not something that you necessarily order when you're hungry. It just becomes a thing that you do.
You know, you come back, especially from, like, the bar, like, the dance at night, or late studying, and it's just, like, impulse, it's instinct.
Yeah, and, when everyone in the pod or whatever comes back from wherever they are and get back at 12 or 1, someone says, hey, you want pizza? I was like, well, no, but I know if there's pizza here, I'll eat it.
Right, so I might as well say yes.
That's yeah.
Chip in right now. Yeah, you got... Yeah, it's true. And, like, half the people... Like, if you've gone out at the night, you know, at, like, to the bar or something, or whatever, you come back, like, if you get a big crew on it, you know at least, like, two of the people are going to pass out before the pizza even arrives.
Yeah.
And, it's unfortunate for them, because, you know, they wake up the next morning, and then if they remember the whole pizza excursion, then they're going to be pretty bitter that they didn't get any.
Yeah, but pizza always works itself out, too. Because, like, it always becomes an issue when you need to throw money together to pay for the pizza.
Yeah.
So much so that it often is a case of, okay, well, I'll like, don't worry about it, and you can pay for the pizza tomorrow.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, the best is looking back at my checkbook from when I was in college. Probably 90% of checks I've written were to pizza. Domino's, Domino's, Basil's, the pause, Basil's, Basil's, Domino's.
maybe one for everything, or it's not.
One for the Cinema bookstore somewhere in there, and then.
Yeah.
Or Domino's, Domino's.
Exactly. Because you had to, and not that you're proud of that, but. You know, I actually, I don't think I went through, like, a whole checkbook during college. Like, I'd always go get cash and stuff. I always pay with, I think, cash. But now that I'm, like, paying out student loans, I went through, like, a checkbook in, like 2 weeks or a month. It's really it's so depressing.
Yeah.
I should just start sending those banks cash.
Yeah.
Send them checks. Or send them, like, bags of change or something, just on a spite. Yeah, I have to pay more for shipping and handling and everything, but, like, imagine, like, my student loan servicer are getting, like, $110 in pennies or something, you know?
Paying for anything in just a bag of change is always such a spiteful move.
Yeah, it is. Gosh, it'd be great.
I remember in high school we had this, the history teacher who charged us for any damage done to our textbooks. And so, in mine, you know, there were a couple folded pages, maybe a crack in the spine or whatever, so he gave me this bill, and I paid for it all in a big bag of pennies.
Yes. Well done. Well done. I've always wanted to do it, but I've never had a situation, in a perfect situation doing either that, or I've just never thought about doing it in the correct situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been, like, an aftermath and hindsight kind of thing where I look back and I'm like, I should have done that in pennies. Yeah. Well, I should get going. I'm starting to crash. I'm getting a little tired. And
well, this has been Isaac Kidder on the Isle of Lucy podcast. Any final remarks for our 7 to 8 listeners?
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. It's great to hear the music and the news is traveling all across the world, all across the nation, and, that's about it, I guess.
Alright, cool. Alright.
Keep on rocking the free world.
Alright, once again, thanks to Isaac for calling in and setting up some material for the podcast. Gonna play a song here. This was something that I mentioned at the end of the last episode. This is a recording that I found, an incomplete studio recording of the song "The Show Ain't Over" that the summer before senior year we started to put together, and it was put together the same way as the album "The Long Way Around" was put together,
with Isaac's electronic drums first, and then PJ and I starting to lay our tracks on top of it. And at this point, there's no bass, there's no electric guitar for most of it. But the acoustic guitar is there, there's some electric guitar, there's a part that has some piano, and there are some of the vocals. And there's some good ideas in here. And so this is the incomplete studio recording of The Show Ain't Over.
I got it up and I don't know what to do. That was such a good one.
I've got it up right over
there. Exactly.
I still think the drums for that song sound better on the live recording than they do with the electronic drum set, but there are things of that that I like. I do like the distortion on PJ's vocals through part of it. I think that's kind of a cool effect on there. Anyway, moving on. At the end of the last episode, I mentioned the Sun Song Contest, and what this is not really a contest, just sort of something to do that PJ, Isaac, and I, and possibly Martin, we're still waiting to hear if he's in on it too, is a thing that we're doing where Isaac had mentioned, actually in the interview on here, that he wanted to try and re-record the Sun Song himself just for fun, like doing all the parts and recording his own version of it. And then PJ proposed, well, hey, why don't we all do that and see what kind of things we can come up with. So we're each working on our own version of the Sun Song, and in the hopefully not too far future, we will have the multiple versions of the song to all play together in a special podcast. So that's something cool to look forward to. Also, in the next episode, I'll try to play some of the new instrumental guitar stuff that I've recorded recently. There's a bunch that I haven't put on podcasts yet, so I'll do that. But to close out this episode, I'm going to play the back-to-back live recordings from our show in the pause of the Rolling Stones song Last Time and the Toadies' Possum Kingdom. So, have a good week, and I'll have more stuff for you probably next week. Alright. Good night, everybody.
You might know this one. I don't know. And I'm sorry, girl, but I just can't stay. Nothing like I do today. There's too much pain and too much sorrow. I guess I'll feel the same tomorrow. Well, this could be the last time. This could be the last time. I don't know. I don't know. Take a ball. I time. This could be the last time. Maybe the last time. I don't know. I don't know. Decide to walk with me around the lake tonight. Around the lake tonight. By my side. By my side. By my side. I can promise you I'll not be a gentleman behind the boathouse. I'll show you my dark secret. Whoa.